Ubu means to me community. Just walking over here across campus, I ran into 10 or 11 students that I said hi to and just ask about their day and see how they're doing. So it really is getting to know every single student on campus. We talk about not being a number sometimes in higher education, but at Ohio Wesleyan, that's true. And so much so that we get to know our students personally, so we're able then to have conversations when things may not be going great, but also to celebrate accomplishments and to be in community with one another. So to me, I think what separates Ohio Wesleyan from maybe some other places, and this is now the third institution I've worked at, is that strong sense of community. I won't use the term family because families sometimes are dysfunctional, but communities come together and support and love and rally around one another. So for me, it's community.
For me, Ohio Wesleyan means this sense of be who you were meant to be, and whether that's through involvement or the activities you do or the classes you're in, you're always going to challenge yourself and be the person you're not necessarily thinking you're going to be, but the one you'll end up being anyway, and that's through career or future education in grad school or these internship opportunities you get through the OU Connection. You're always going to be put in a place where you're going to grow as a person and be who you're meant to be.
Welcome to Bishop Banter, your guide to OU. Here are your hosts, Ohio Wesleyan alumni Courtney Dunn and Connor Green.
Welcome back to episode 2 of Bishop Banter, your guide to OU. I'm Connor.
And I'm Courtney. And today we're going to be bantering about the first year student experience at OU. Connor, I would love to know your thoughts on why is the first year experience relevant and why are we talking about this?
Yeah, of course. I mean, all of these students, they have to go through that first year. And they come on campus and they're going to participate in all of these different things that help set them up for the rest of their 4 years. And I think that's a big piece of that first year is they'd participate in things like orientation and Camp OU and UC-160. And these are all things we cover here in a little bit, but they are platforms that help set them up to create these building blocks to set them up for the rest of their 4 years. They learn who to talk to, the different resources on campus, how to create your major, how to go about picking classes, how to find clubs and organizations. They learn about all of these things throughout that first year. So that way, when it gets to that next year and the next year and the next year, they're ready and they're able to just jump into whatever they're interested in.
Yeah, I love that you referred to it as the building blocks of your first year because they really are building a solid foundation of what the next 3 years are going to look like, but also learning how to build building blocks in each transition that you go through in your life. And the foundation that the students are setting in their first year experience is really going to be a solid foundation for when they graduate as well. Kind of looping back to our liberal arts conversation, that we really are helping students learn how to learn, and this all of the things that the students go through in their first year experience really do help them build into their second, third, and fourth year at OU.
Yeah, and to help us learn a little bit more about all of these things, we've got Brad Pulsini and Dylan Hayes here to talk a little bit more about the first year student experience. Welcome back to another episode of Bishop Banter, your guide to everything OU. Today, we've got Brad Pulsini and Dylan Hayes here to talk to us a little bit. If each of you could just give us a little introduction as to who you are, what you do here, what all you're involved with. Dylan, you want to go first?
Mm-hmm. Like Connor said, I'm Dylan Hayes. I'm a senior here, class of 2020. I'm a sociology, anthropology, and social justice double major. I'm involved in a lot of different things. The big ones this semester are Mock Convention, which is coming up in February, as well as our Spring Break Interfaith Service Week trips. I'm the logistics leader for the Puerto Rico team. I do a couple leadership development clubs. That's like President's Club, lead fellows, a couple organizations at Ohio Wesleyan you can get involved with.
And I'm Brad Pulsini, and I like to joke that I'm a super senior. I'm entering my 21st year in higher education. I've never left from the time that I entered education in 1999. But my role at Ohio Wesleyan is I'm the Associate Dean for Student Engagement. So I work with clubs and orgs, the Student Involvement Office, community service, marching bands, first-year programs, fraternity and sorority life. So all of the ways that students engage on campus, I oversee those areas. Also about myself, I am a first-generation college graduate, so the first in my family to go to college. I come from a low-income family background as well, too, and I also transferred twice as an undergraduate, so and commuted to campus and lived on campus. So in my work with students, I have multiple perceptions and ways to think about how to help you navigate your academic and collegiate career.
I can't think of a better advisor.
I know.
Someone who's experienced it all.
Yeah.
And different institutions. So I feel like the validity of what you have to say about the programs really carries some weight around here.
The first thing really is summer orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed a little bit, probably since you've done it, Dylan. I know it's changed since I've done it. Parts of the things we want to talk about is, you know, what is the point of summer orientation? Why do we even have it? You know, what does it help students do?
Yeah, so summer orientation is something that we reimagined a little bit when I first started 4 years ago. It's still a strong partnership with Academic Affairs, Admissions, and Student Engagement Success, which is what we call Student Affairs here. The primary goal of summer orientation, if I'm going to be blunt, is to get you registered for your classes so you know what you're doing when you get here in the fall. It's in June, hence why we call it summer orientation. It's in the 90-degree humidity days of Ohio, and it sometimes rains. All the time it rains. So you come to campus, and there's two different options this year to do an overnight experience where it's a day and a half, and or to do a one-day orientation to get the information you need and get registered for courses. We know not everybody can stay over campus and or have the expenses of traveling and taking a couple days' work off for families, so we're piloting this one-day model this year, too. We provide, for the 2 days, day and a half experience, we provide housing on campus for students in the residence halls. Families, though, have to find local accommodations if they're traveling with their son or daughter or student. But the purpose is to get you registered for classes, get to meet some other people that are going to be in the class with you. And we have conversations around how to get started as a student at Ohio Wesleyan. There is also some of that bonding that happens through small group work and or what we call recreational fun time in the evening as well. Some students, I know you all like to find roommate love online, Facebook in the Facebook group, but, you know, students will find roommate love at orientation and look at somebody and I'm like, you seem cool. Yeah, you seem cool too. You want to live together? Sure. So we purposely won't even send out housing assignments sometimes until after June orientations have occurred, because roommate love is found at summer orientation. So we do offer, for those that can't make it, we do hold spots in classes. So, and then we have a group of faculty that will register those folks right after June orientation's over, and they will have a schedule as well, too, the first couple weeks of July, and then we get information that they might have missed out to them, too. So there's a couple different things. Dylan has acted as an orientation leader for summer orientation. So he might be able to tell some experience about maybe about some of the small group work or what this upper class student experiences with the program too.
And maybe if you found roommate love.
Definitely. So 4 years ago when I was going through the orientation process, I think at first I was really just excited to meet other students because I was on the class Facebook group, but I was still really nervous. I was coming from out of state at the time. I'm also a first generation student, so I didn't know a lot of the processes and kind of things on how to navigate that. So when I got on campus, they make it super easy and they kind of explain everything for you. And these are all things they could do over email or through some online portal, but that confusion is really just taken all away, and they have people there to guide you through, not just upperclassmen students who are acting as your guides, but the faculty and staff, the institution. It's where I first met my academic advisor, who has been my academic advisor now all 4 years. And it's also where I met my freshman year roommates. So I talked a little bit on the Facebook group. We connected that we were both going to the same orientation sessions. We met up there and kind of spent the whole day to, like, side to side together. just as someone to talk to. And that's where we kind of just both spread out and met new people that we were later friends with that entire first year of school.
So you're an out-of-state student, and you were an out-of-state student. You're both first gen. What does orientation do to, I guess, calm nerves? You mentioned it briefly, but, you know, what do we do to just help those students not be so overwhelmed by this new environment, this new place?
Yeah, so, I mean, entering college is like entering a foreign country. I mean, when we talk about it's a culture you're not familiar with, for all students, not just for first-gen students, but for all students. We speak a language here that is not familiar. Like, if I ever knew what a bursar was before coming to college, I would have been like, nope. Or we say provost, and you're like, what? And then, so it's about learning the language of higher ed. A
bursar is the person that takes the money. And the provost is the head of the academics area here and oversees the faculty. So you're getting some pro tips here before you get here. So we talk about, how do you talk about the language of higher education? What are these people? Who are the people to support? We know about the different transitions and what you may be worried about coming to college or anxious about coming to college. So we have conversations around that. We also have you share what maybe you might be worried about. And guess what? Other people are worried about the same thing. So we have common conversations around, oh, you're worried about that too? Oh, you're going to miss your dog more than you miss your brother? I'm going to miss my dog more than I'm going to miss my brother. So, and having these things and showing that there's more commonality sometimes, and also making yourself have comfortable and having these conversations with other people, especially in the digital age where we have most of our conversations electronically. You're also going to be introduced to the numerous support staff and faculty on campus and what they do on campus and how can you reach out for help when you need it, but also not putting the onus on you to reach out, but how as we as the campus going to work and help you be successful and reach out to you and or proactively work with you on your transition to college.
And that's just the first step. You've just come for summer orientation. They haven't even gotten to campus yet. And you all are talking about how you're going to support them and how you're going to form community and how you're going to have roommate love at summer orientation. So I really love that. So now that we've kind of covered summer orientation, we can always loop back to that as well. So what is Camp OU? Yeah. That is a loaded question, but what is it?
Yeah, do we want to maybe Dylan's perspective on what Camp OU is, and then I'll correct him.
Okay. So Camp OU really is your Ohio Wesleyan 101 is what I would call it. So you're going to spend the next 3 days at one of our four camps. There's Challenge, Service, Wilderness, and City Camp. Each camp does a little bit different things, but they all have the same goal and objective of essentially making you a full part of the Ohio Wesleyan community, not only kind of making sure everything's situated with your classes and registration, but doing those small group activities where you're meeting like-minded people and people you've never met before, and as well as challenging kind of some of those notions of what does it mean to not only to be a college student, but a liberal arts student and Ohio Wesleyan student.
We do this in a way because we want to make sure that you're meeting other people, you're getting to these locations and having the conversations that need to be had to help ease that transition too from when you get back. Because it is a transformative experience, and I'm not just saying that. You will not be the same person when you come back from camp in your transition to college as when you left. Because we're going to have just not introduction to 101, you start thinking about who I am as a person coming to college. You have conversations about who you are coming to college. You have conversations around a sense of belonging. So you get into some of these deep and meaningful conversations with fellow students that help you create bonds. It's always funny when people come back from camps, we kind of see students traveling on campus in little pods. And it's kind of their camp groups from Camp OU and they kind of have already formed the community and have, outside of who they're living with, have formed connections with other people and groups. It's also an introduction to our history, our campus culture, our traditions, But also having fun. So at Challenge Camp, you're going to be on high and low ropes courses. You're going to be kayaking. You're going to be having climbing walls. There's going to be large games and service camp. You're going to get into Delaware and Columbus and serve the community through the Ronald McDonald House, or whether it be one of our like 20 or 30 different campus partners that work with us. In Wilderness Camp, you're going into the wilderness of West Virginia, where there will be camping under the stars in tents. So, and you will be rock climbing and caving. And caving is not just walking into a cave and like, oh, look, there's a cave. Caving, like getting into the crevices of a cave with headlamps on and everything. Hiking. Canoeing. And then at city camp, you're getting to know Delaware and the city that you're going to live in and doing some games and challenges and exploring too. And that camp actually is on campus, so you get to live in your halls where the other ones get to go. So we're incorporating the same curriculum and the same conversations at camp, but having bonding experiences or group activities in different ways to get you to connect with one another as well, too. Because we want to have an intentional experience where you feel ready on day one and connected to a campus and feel like you have truly belonged to this community and to set you up for the best success that possible in that first year.
Dylan, did you take place in Camp OU? Did you do that experience?
Going into these past 3 years, I've been involved with the camp from the leader perspective. So this past summer, I led the city camp, and we did a lot of really cool things in Delaware. We got to go out into the Delaware Arts Castle, which is a local nonprofit that does art for the community. We got to stay on campus for a lot of it and not only get to kind of be experts on the campus, not where your classes are, where some of these buildings and locations are, but do some fun activities and connecting with other people who oftentimes aren't from Ohio. So they kind of just want to come back and settle in and understand, you know, what these Ohio customs and hospitalities are like. You know, people say ope all the time, that kind of thing.
Are there any other Ohioisms that you've noticed?
People hold the door open really long here. And then
the awkward gap.
Yeah, the awkward gap where you're kind of, it's really far, and then you kind of like hurry up to like catch up to the door, or else it's just weird. And then if someone doesn't hold the door open for you, it's like really rude. But everywhere else in the world, people just don't care.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I'm pretty much Ohio all my life, so I didn't know the door gap was a thing. So one other thing with Camp OU, so it's a great experience. It's 3 days long. You're involved with all these other students. How does this experience affect the rest of your 4 years on campus? You mentioned it a little bit, Brad, with, you know, they leave and they come back to campus and they're in these little groups for those first days. But does that last throughout the 4 years? Are those experiences continual?
The things we talk about in camp help students have conversations in a classroom. What we hear from faculty is that the first-year students, since we've implemented this campus, have been able to hold conversations better in courses because of the conversations that we have and are used to conversing with one another over, you know, maybe deeper topics and be able to critically think about what their experience is coming in. It also translates into knowing kind of what to do whenever you run up against a situation. You're going to be introduced to a lot of people through the program that can help you out. One of my roles at the institution is to work with every single first-year student on their transition. I used to wear a lot of bow ties on campus, and students would affectionately refer to me as Bowtie Brad. I have since decided to let my neck breathe a little bit more throughout the day, so I don't wear bow ties as much, but now I have a beard. So I've heard Bearded Brad recently, which I don't know if I'm okay with, but it's sticking apparently. But the students know, like, if you need something, see Brad or say hi to Brad or just have a conversation, because my goal is to help you get to resources that you may. And all that starts at Camp OU and orientation and move-in day. But the whole program is not to put you on a path and so you know everything that you need to do for 4 years, but to let you know that where people are to be able to support you whenever you may have challenges, but also to really be in your corner in celebrations as well, too. I'm graduating this year. This is my 8th semester on campus. So the class that's graduating, I like to say I'm graduating with them. The only difference is they get to leave, and they get a diploma, and I get to stay here and work with additional students, which I love. But because of the relationships I built over the 4 years, I'm writing recommendations like there's no tomorrow. And I'm getting to help students and navigate that next decision in our life because of the relationships we built over the 4 years, starting with that orientation program. So I think I think part of that whole experience is the relationships you form with others throughout that first week help translate into relationships that will grow with the faculty and staff and upperclass students over 4 years at the institution as well.
I love how you touch on that Camp OWU is not just the introduction to Ohio Wesleyan, but Camp OWU extends into your 4 years. The people that you're meeting, the things that you're talking about, the preparation that you're doing in that first week is extending into your 4 years at Ohio Wesleyan. And Dylan, I don't know if you have anything to add about how does that camp experience for a student extend into the things that you're doing in your freshman year and beyond during your time as a student?
I think the biggest part is it teaches you how to find things that you're passionate about. Not stuff you necessarily are interested in, but things that you're not only like to do, but you're really good at. And I think that's your really first step for career development and leadership development here is you're doing things and getting involved in places that are making you not only a better student, but a better person because you're passionate about doing it. You're not doing it just for the resume builder or because you need to, but because you really want to do that.
I love that. I think that really encompasses well, Brad, you may attest to this as well, but the Ohio Wesleyan experience, that our students are doing things that they're passionate about, not just the things that they've been told to do to build a resume. But they're doing these things because they enjoy doing them.
And now, a short break for this week's Rock Solid Advice from Ohio Wesleyan's 16th president, Rock Jones.
My advice to first-year students is don't hold back. Jump in. Do some things that you've done before. But try some things you have not tried before. Take a course in a subject you've never studied before. Join a club that might be a bit out of your comfort zone. You may discover a new passion. You may discover an interest that you'll carry with you for the rest of your life that you would never have discovered if you hadn't been willing to try something new. But my other piece of advice is pace yourself. You don't have to do it all in the first year. And so while it's important to jump in, and it's important to find connections, and it's important to become involved, don't put yourself at the risk of becoming so involved that you can't get your academic work complete or you find yourself unable to thrive in other ways that are personally meaningful for you. So jump in at the deep end, but give yourself some time as well.
And now, back to Bishop Banter.
We've mentioned it, I think, 9 or 10 times now. What is UC 160?
It's a graduation requirement.
Kidding, but it is. So it's a class every first-year student will take. Transfer students will take something called UC 200, which is a transfer section of UC 160, since there's different themes, different conversations we want transfers to be having as they come to Ohio Wesleyan. But it's basically an introduction to the liberal arts, what it means to be a student at the liberal arts, what does it mean to study the liberal arts, an introduction to resources, again, at the institution, an introduction to academics, what does it mean to navigate your four-year academic journey at the institution. We have conversations around diversity, equity, and inclusion. We do stuff, like I said, our service projects, and so a big part of the liberal arts is service to the community and others. So it is a... You meet as a class one day a week for 50 minutes. We have a weird credit system here where it's not like 3 credit hours. We have what are called units. So a 1-unit course is really 3 credits at another institution. This is all the things you'll learn when you come here. But it's what's called a 0.25 unit course because you're only meeting once a week. And this is led by faculty who have an interest in
working with students on their transition to college, and also staff as well, too. I myself, as a staff member, have taught it now for 3 years. We'll be teaching again next year. And we come in and we're together and just have conversations around, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? Hey, let's go talk to the library and figure out how do you do a research paper? Like, right? Or, career services. Let's have them come in and think about resume building pretty early on. And or let's talk about what your academic career is going to look like, or your OWU journey over 4 years, so you can start planning that out, so you can think about who do you want to be, what do you want to become, and how does your academic and career aspirations play into your experience at the institution as well, too. Some of these sections will be what is called affinity-based. I myself and another faculty member, Dr. Paul Dean, teach section that's focused on first-generation college students. Dylan was in a section of that and has a TA to section of that in the past. But there's also in the past been LBTGQIA plus section as well, too. There's been athlete sections in the past. So we're depending on the faculty, and there's honor sections, too. Depending on the faculty interests, we will offer some of these affinity type sections as well. But I always have a special place in my heart for my UC160. I just saw one of them walking across the street, and we just kind of looked at each other and laughed because of an inside joke we have from inside UC160 last semester. But I always have a special place. I always tell them, like, you're my people. Like, I care about all students, but I care about you maybe a little bit. No, I'm joking. I care about you a little bit more because you do create a bond within that class through the different experiences that you have. And it's a continuation of those conversations we start at summer orientation through the Camp OWU program that translates into UC160. And it's faculty-led. Dr. Linda Hall, who is a psychology professor on campus and our associate dean for student engagement, she leads efforts around UC160. And I would say all students probably need to know Dr. Hall because she's just the most lovely person in the world and truly cares about student success. And that translates into how we operate and run that course as well, too.
Wow. I loved UC160 when I was here, but I would also like to hear from Dylan. What was your experience in UC160? Brad talked a lot about building a four-year plan. He talked about being able to connect to service opportunities, which you've taken advantage of throughout your 4 years. So I would love to hear about your experience in UC160 and how that has translated throughout your time at OWU.
Mm-hmm. I really did enjoy my UC160 experience because I was in one of the first-generation sections with Dr. Dean. And that's really where I began to kind of explore, you know, what does it really mean to be a working-class kid going to a private liberal arts college? You know, what does it mean to be a first-generation student in an institution where maybe, like, that there's some struggles that are going to come with that? You're not going to have the same level of understanding of what Brad talked about earlier, of what a bursar or a provost is. And that class really teaches you all of those things and gets you ready for these next 3.5 years alongside making your four-year plan, which is essentially when you plan out, you know, what classes do I want to take next fall? What classes do I want to take my junior year? Do I want to study abroad for a semester, for a year? Where would that fit in? Could that work for an internship? Do I need to do a winter internship or a summer internship? And they sit you down and they help you walk through all of these things as an individual and not just as, we need you to graduate here in 4 years. In addition to that, they take moments to reflect on personal wellness. You'll get some study tips on how to study better, you know, because studying in college is not the same as studying in high school. Sleep schedules and sleep hygiene is a really big deal in college. You know, people really don't think about these things in high school when you're on such a strict schedule, you know, because in high school you're waking up at 6-7 in the morning and you're going one class to another, when in college your schedule is way more free and they sit you down on how to have that personal wellness time, how to take care of your mental and physical health, which is what could make you a better student and a better leader here.
One thing I do want to ask with UC160, I think I might be one of the only people that haven't done it. It wasn't a requirement when I came in my first year. And hearing about the people who did take it and went through it, exactly what you're saying. It helped so much. I grew so much. And I learned all these things. And I was always so jealous of it. You know, why is it mandatory now? You know, what made that change?
Yeah. Because we saw the benefits of it. We saw the students that were going through it was benefiting their experience. And they were being successful in the higher GPA. Like, it was just, it was shown in research. And I mean, I can geek out in higher ed and be like, well, Tintro says this, and this researcher says this, and this person says this, and you're going to know nothing of what I've talked about. So just know that people have said these things work, but we needed to try to make it work for our campus in a way that our students were going to react and respond to it in the needs. So we piloted for a few years and we played with it and we tweaked it. And we constantly continued to tweak this class and this course from the feedback we get from students every year that go through it. But it's mandatory because we want you to be have these continued conversations, continue to have these connections, continue to be prepped in a way that set you up for success in the first year. We're also now thinking about how do we continue this into the sophomore year. I talked about community in the cold intro or whatever this is going to be later on, about the OU community, and this is part of that community, this care for the student and care for how you're going to navigate these 4 years and help you do that. And that's part of what UC160 does through this academic journey, which we call the four-year plan, or through these service projects. And it's mandatory because we know it works. If it didn't work, it wouldn't be a graduation requirement. It wouldn't be a required course for people. So
I do want to loop back to Dylan's four-year plan that you built in UC160. Did you stick to your four-year plan that you built your freshman year?
I would say a solid 60% of it I stuck to. And really, I think those are just the major requirements, which I took in the semesters I planned to. But everything else really was molded by the classes I took. You know, so if I took a class about a particular subject, let's say religion, I wanted to take more. So I took another class the next year. I was really interested in what Brexit was and what the EU conflict was. So I took a class about that. And part of that liberal arts experience is you get to mold and flex that as you go, but not really have to worry about, oh, is this particular credit going to count? Because it will, and you'll be able to graduate on time.
And this is all before you're a sophomore.
Yep.
That's a lot to fit in 1 year.
So if there's anything that you all would really love students to take away from their first year experience, what are those one or two things that you really would like students to walk away from orientation with in their UC160 classes?
I think Dylan can attest to this. It's not always going to be sunshines and rainbow in your first year. There's going to be ups and downs. We talk to students a lot about the W experience, where there's this, you get here, you're all excited about stuff, and that's the honeymoon period, and you're like, yeah! And then within a couple of weeks, maybe you feel homesick, or maybe that first paper comes up and you're questioning, can I do this type deal? And then you rebound back up and then you maybe come back down a little bit. And then eventually, you know, you assimilate to this environment that is higher education and you transition. And that happens in different ways for different people. Your friends, you're going to at some point during your first year, you're going to look around the room and say, everybody has this figured out except for me. One, you're lying to yourself because everybody else in the room doesn't have it figured out too. And they're just as scared maybe as you are. And two, people navigate this transition to college differently and at different transition points. This is why I have a job. This is why others in our institution have a job. Be able to have conversations and work with you through that too. Because I think if we come to college and expecting it to be just be great and awesome out the gate, when you get into that first maybe valley of doubt or whatever it may be, it's hard to navigate back out. So I'm very purposeful in working with students and trying to figure that out. And I will say one more thing about sleep. Y'all sleep because y'all, when I talk to students and they look like they just are falling apart, I'm like, have you slept? Well, I got 3 hours last night. Oh, how many hours are you typically getting? 5. I'm like, you're supposed to sleep 9 hours a night, not 8. 9 hours a night at your age because you're still like developing. Like, so just sleep. And I know that's harder. It's easy for me to say as an old man who just needs to go home and get sleep because I'm old. But shoot for like 6 or 7 hours a night, if not as an average, because I think we run into issues within the first year or when students are here because they're not taking care of themselves. And self-care is a big part of that. And we talk a lot about self-care through the first year experience and programs that we have as well, too. And just sleep. Please sleep.
Dylan, anything to add?
Yeah, I guess if I could just give one piece of advice, it would be to understand that orientation and UC160 and Camp OU are really just the building blocks to give you the tools to survive these next 4 years, and not really just survive, but thrive. You know, you're not going to have it all figured out. You're not going to know what to do in certain situations. You're not going to know what the best study tips are. You aren't going to know what you're going to be doing the next decades of your life. But it's in those really difficult moments where you're tired or you're exhausted or you're just frustrated and you kind of just want to give up. But those tools that help you overcome that are what is built in your first semester. And over the next 3.5 years after that, you're just building upon these and becoming a better student and a better leader and a better bishop.
Better bishop.
Better bishop. I don't think we can say it any better than that. Yeah.
Link it all together.
Well, this was perfect. Thank you both for joining us and talking all about this. Makes me think about when I moved in and all those things, and it was great. If you all are coming to campus, you might not get to see Dylan because he's a senior. Congratulations. But make sure you do stop by and see bearded bowtie Brad, and make sure to say hi to him.
I'm also bald. It's a triple whammy.
Oh, man.
bald, beard, and bowtie. The three Bs.
Well, thanks again for talking with us, and we'll see you around campus.
Yeah, thanks, all. That's great.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Tune in next time for some more Bishop Banter.
And make sure to check us out at OWU Admission on Instagram and Twitter, and find us wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you next time.